Jiu-jitsu. Jiu-jitsu is no joke. It takes years to master.
Martial arts are a vehicle for developing your human potential. And nothing in my life has ever put me in face with reality better than jiu-jitsu.
Training in BJJ offers a powerful lens through which to examine some primary human concerns: truth versus delusion, self-knowledge, ethics, and overcoming fear.
There's more philosophy in our mats than actually philosophy in any Ivy League school.
Welcome to Philosophy.
What up, everybody?
And welcome to another episode of
Philosophy.
My name's Ollie.
My name is Iki.
What's up, my bro?
I'm chilling like a villain. How are you doing?
Good, bro. We got that nailed now.
We actually rehearsed a little bit of that few parts. We were starting the podcast.
Yeah. This isn't really for your ears, but we actually do drill that a few times. We practice it.
Oh, my God. We started on a good note. And, you know, speaking of practicing, let's talk about the opposite of that. Maybe. Is it the opposite? I don't know. But the topic of the podcast today is on fun.
Having fun.
Yeah.
Do you have fun?
I do have fun. And I also have fun on the mats.
Do you?
Yeah. And I actually want to ask you a question.
Go on then.
Which is, because to be fair, I think this is a better way to put it. I was talking with Bill yesterday, right, after training. And I was telling him that I find myself at an odd place with jiu-jitsu, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, I realized, like, this is something I think it came as a thought during the whole lockdown introspection phase. It's like
that was a phase. There were three phases.
You know what I mean, right? Yeah, phase one. It's like one of the things I notice is, for the most part, a lot of the things I do, they have a final objective, right?
In jiu-jitsu?
No, like just like in life. Like a lot of the things that I have to do, they have a final objective.
Mm-hmm.
I started doing jiu-jitsu as I wanted to learn how to defend myself. And then I realized how much fun it was, right?
Yeah.
And at some point,
yep,
I just put the having fun part aside to sort of like put goals in place now. Sort of like, oh, now I want to compete. I want to do these things. And kind of having fun went like down the list of importance.
Okay.
But the problem with that is the excitement for training went slightly down. You know what I mean?
I do know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, and I found that quite interesting about, like, for example, like, oh man, perhaps having fun, just as having fun on its own without any other goal, might be more important than I thought.
Maybe. So what are you going to do about it?
Well, first I'm going to choke the shit out of you, because that's pretty funny.
Nah, it would never happen.
I think I'm just gonna let him be. So I think the thing I notice is kind of making sure that I'm enjoying myself.
Mm. You know, just checking you're having fun.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I think first of all, it's like putting
yourself.
That as a higher priority. Like, what do I want to drill that's gonna be epic, kind of thing. You know, sort of like, what do I want to train?
Yeah.
I'm not gonna do cartwheels. No, don't worry. But. But you know what I mean, right?
I know what you mean. So, do you think you will lose the structure that leads to progression?
So I guess that's a balance, isn't it?
Mm.
Like, because I think the thing is, the other day we were talking, you, John, and I, and he was talking about how he's training takedowns and stand-up, but it was so more technical that I felt like if I was to do that, the only point of doing that was either not to lose or just to win, but wouldn't necessarily find any much, I won't say just fun, but any, oh, I want to learn this. You know what I mean? Sort of like that enthusiasm to learn it.
Yeah. I've read, I think I've spoken about this before. I read that book called The Angry White Pajamas.
Yeah.
And it's about the guy that goes and lives in Japan, and they're really fat and overweight, and they're like, we need to get fit. We should learn a martial art, like we're in Japan. And they choose to do Aikido. And there's this thing you can do where it's like, maybe it's like a year's intensive course, or maybe it's like longer, maybe it's like 3 years. I want to say a year, where you do like a really intensive course where you pretty much are at the gym every day. And the riot police in Japan do it. And at the end of it, you get a black belt in Aikido. And like, whilst we don't need to go into like whether Aikido is like legit or not, the whole thing he's talking about is the Japanese way of doing things, which is like discipline and repetition and rigor. And it didn't sound that fun, but he did get better and fitter, and like he discovered a lot about himself. And like, I wonder if there's a place for discipline and fun.
I think there is, and also there is one thing. I think like even in doing hard things, maybe like while they're hard, they might just suck until you start getting better at them.
Yeah.
And then it's like more enjoyable, right? But like there is that part where things just suck. Like, because if it was just having fun, maybe I would have left on the first class of jiu-jitsu, right? In a sense. It's like it was intriguing, it was challenging. It was quite fun, but it wasn't just fun.
Yeah, I think Bill was saying his was fun. He rocked up and he'd been practicing like arm bars. Yeah. And they were showing arm bars and he was like, I'm class. I'm so good at jiu-jitsu. I think it's very important to have fun though. Very important.
Yeah, I mean, in a way it's like, especially like a lot of the things, because it's like, because if you just get into your goal, I guess you get there and so what? It's just like the next one, you know, it's like...
You got to enjoy the journey, haven't you?
Yeah.
I like different cultures' approach to fun. Like the one that springs to mind is almost like the German way of having fun. Like I've been to Germany quite a bit and I remember I went to like a student bar and they were just playing the most random like selection of music. And I was like, what's the deal with this music? And this girl was like, it's just fun.
You've told me this story before. How did she actually tell you with the German accent?
Yeah, she was German.
Yeah, what was her accent like?
No, I'm not gonna alienate our German fans.
Okay.
But then I also went to an event out in Germany.
Yeah.
I've forgotten the country. Yeah, it was one of the most German towns I've ever been to. In the middle, there was a massive statue with the Mercedes-Benz logo just slowly rotating.
It was
like,
oh, really?
Yeah, I promise you. It was like the most German town. And our company was basically sponsoring the event. So we got to go to like the sponsors' dinner. And when we got there, it was like the most organized fun. There was like, yeah, there was like a German band dressed in like traditional German outfits. And they were like organizing like, first we'll do the music and then we'll do the singing, then we'll do the dancing and it'll be fun. Such a regimented way.
It's, I guess the thing that I find like with the, especially with the having a structure and having fun, there was an interesting story about, I heard about this, I think I was reading that book, Super Learning. And the author told the story of, this is actually based on a real life story. I just don't remember the people's names.
Is this the chess story?
Yeah, that's the chess story.
Yeah, so what's the name of the girl?
Julia something.
Okay. I'm like 90% sure it's the Queen's Gambit you're describing.
Do you think so?
Yeah, with Beth Harmon, like the book about her.
Mm-hmm. So, well, I'm pretty bad at remembering quotes from people. Actually, like I'll read like a full book. And after a year, I don't remember exactly which book I read it from. So just like...
Make up your own book.
Exactly, right? It was like, once someone said... But the story was about a guy who wanted to have genius kids.
Oh, yeah. I remember you saying, yeah.
Right? That was like his dream. So he would go on dates and be like... So...
How clever are you?
The point of like... Yeah, I want to have genius kids. Are you down for that? And the woman would be like, no. He'd be like, hey, cool. Nice to meet you. And he would go... That was literally his goal. Eventually, he met a woman who was like, yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Cool.
And I don't know. I think like they were both like really smart, like the guy and the woman. So their genetics might have played a part in this. But... From the moment that their daughters were born, they were all like, I think from 3 years old or so, they learned how to play chess.
Mm.
And they would play chess all the time. The only thing is, the way they structured it wasn't like how it is in school, like sort of like you have to do this at this time.
Yeah.
It's like they made it the game,
yeah.
Like a playing, like they were, like even the motivation to go play the game was almost like a challenge, like sort of like, ah, do you want chocolate? And you want this? If you beat your sister today, and you know, sort of, it's just always like a bit of a competitive.
See, I don't know how I feel about that. Cause
wait. Let me tell the story, because I'm not like vouching for it.
Yeah.
As this is good or bad, I'm just saying what I learned from that lesson. And the thing is, when the girls didn't want to play, it's fine. They didn't have to. They could just go around, play around.
Do they still get chocolate?
Hmm.
Do they still get chocolate?
I don't remember how much detail there was in that. But then the thing is, eventually one of the girls became so good
at chess,
like all of them became really, really good, became like champions and stuff. But one of them excelled, sort of, she was like, even like, I guess she really went for it,
yeah,
past her sisters. And I mean, at this point they're all very good. And I think when she was 15, she played against other 15 people who were all older people, like older men. And she beat them all at the same time, just playing them all at the same time. So she beats them all. And the world champion at the time was asked, do you think she'll ever play against him? And at the time, the idea was, women will never play chess against men because they don't have the strength to concentrate for that long. And I think this was Bobby Fischer who said this, or the other champion in her country. Eventually, she played against this guy. She says she lost the first time because she was just too starstruck. And then eventually she won against him. And I think she won against Bobby Fischer as well. And that became sort of like the first woman to do this. And the interesting thing is how the girls all turned out in their lives. I think when I was reading this, I'm like, geez, this is like Psychopath City, right? And yeah, they eventually went on to have like really happy lives, have like their families, and you know, sort of, they're this is quite recent. I watched a TED talk from her, and she was 44 on the TED talk, so this is all quite recent. And I was like, wow, this is fascinating. But I guess the thing that stood out for me is, it wasn't necessarily about. There was a structure. And a regimen. There was a lot of intensity in the play, but it wasn't just the intensity, just the practice. Go, 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 go. That was enough time for them to be kids.
Which is so important, man.
Yeah.
Like, it's all like, imagine just being like, I'm gonna make genius kids. Like, you see any of those, like, because it's called like hot housing, isn't it? Like, where the parents are like, they are in control of the kids' lives. They're like, you're going to be this, you're going to do that, you're going to like excel here. Like, they take away all of that choice and all of that, like, I don't know, really, like, all of the point of being a kid and like making those like friendships and fun and play. And you like, you see these kids trying to interact, and there's clearly something wrong with them. Like, they're obviously super smart, but there's also something that's really wrong with them. They can't handle losing very well. They don't naturally like play with other kids. They don't make friendships very easily. Like, and these parents are like, they will be a doctor.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't really get behind that, to be honest.
You know, a movie, we've been planning to watch this movie together, actually, the movie that
The Price Michael, of Gold.
Michael Phelps produced. I can't find the movie anywhere. Like,
so. I think it's on BBC, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think it's called something else.
Is it?
I think so. I'll check.
Because I saw it on HBO, but it's like only available in America.
Oh, okay. Maybe
I'm like, Michael Phelps, what are you doing? I saw an interview with a lot of the athletes that are in the film. So the film is about all these Olympians who get to the Olympics. Some win. Many of them win, and they still feel unaccomplished, and they still feel like they're not enough.
Yeah.
And some of them like have like really hardcore like mental health issues. Michael Phelps says that for 10 years straight, he kept track of every meal and every training session he did. And that was all his life was about for 10 years straight. And he did make it. And to be fair, his goal was, I am going to change the sport of swimming forever. So there was no way he was going to accomplish that without going that intense.
Yeah.
The way he was explaining is like, if I miss one session of training, it takes me 2 days to just get back to that level. Just that's how intense he was pushing, and I couldn't miss a session. I trained every day for 10 years. I don't think he was having that much fun.
No, it doesn't sound that much fun, does it? Like, even if you love that, what you do, and you, that you want that goal that bad.
The only problem that came with that, for example, is that, I mean, he really did something phenomenal. The thing is, after he did that, that was the only thing he had in his life. So either if that thing was not going well, or when that thing was not there anymore, there was like a lot of questions like, who am I? Why am I here? Mm. It really, the other thing he mentioned is that a lot of that drive to accomplish those things came from a lot of anger, sort of like anger issues that he had. And it's like, I'm going to accomplish this. So eventually, after now, he says, yeah, I have way more fun now. I just take care of my kids. I spend the time. But that's also, it's easy for him to say now, oh, yeah, it's important to have fun, right? Yeah. After he accomplished that.
I think when you're a kid or when you have kids, and it's like, it's hard for us to say, right? Because
I don't think
I have any kids. It's, you have to make it fun. You like that positive reinforcement, like learning outside of the school. I mean, school should be fun, right? But you know, that's another topic, I guess. But like, if you're doing a sport or a hobby, something like jiu-jitsu, then it has to be fun, it has to be enjoyable, you have to want to go, and that kind of like positive play aspect and learning through that fun and that play, I personally think is so essential, because it should be something enjoyable that you want to do. And if you make it super fun and super enjoyable, you just don't like it, then that's a much more fair reflection, I think, later on. Like, you get to try a bit of everything and then you stick with the thing that you like. But one of the things I hate is like the super competitive parent. Like, I've seen it at the competitions, and you see like them like screaming and yelling at this kid, and it's like, man, it feels so bad for him.
Especially because the kid is just doing that for the parent, not...
Do you know what I mean?
It's not like he's...
You will be a world champion.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Jiu-jitsu is interesting in a sense that there is like a lot of space for the fun of it. Like, I mean, for the two of us, I'd say, I don't think we are thinking that we're going to be the greatest world champions of all time, you know?
Mm.
But it still grabs your attention. When you're not there, you're thinking about the next day. What are you going to do the next day?
Yeah, I think this comes down to like motivation, isn't it? Like, mm-hmm. pushing yourself to be better. Our coach, like we've said in the past, is he just won't accept that you're not going to improve and get better.
Yes, but then there is a part of it that it's not just about being... There are times where you just leave the mats and you're still thinking about it.
Yeah.
It can even be something that someone did that you just thought it was cool, and you're like, oh my God, how do you do that? You want to go and train it. You know, so it's not even part of your game, but it's like, it's engaging in that way.
Yeah, so it has to grab you.
Yeah.
It has to grab you. Like, there's a reason I don't sit down and practice maths every day.
Yeah.
I don't enjoy it. Like, why would I want to unless I need to improve some area? Unless it is vitally important that I get better at maths, I'm not going to dedicate any real time to picking up a textbook and reading. Do you know what I mean? Like, you need to... Your time is precious and your time is finite. And when you're older, other than like the basic necessities of working for food, money and living, the rest of your time is up to you. So you're going to fill it. Well, at least you should fill it with things you enjoy doing. Mm-hmm. If you don't enjoy doing it, maybe fill it with the things you do enjoy doing. I don't know, man. Like, what do I know? Just just try and think about it, really.
I wonder... For example, I wonder how it is for you. I find for me, I have a little bit of a hard time having fun, just like for fun's sake. Like, I feel a little bit guilty.
Yeah, I suppose I do in some ways, because the discipline element for like drinking, for example,
mm-hmm.
going out drinking, that like writes your day off, right? That's a day you could have been training. So yeah, I guess in some ways I do. I think that is super important, though, isn't it? Like, it is okay to go out and have fun. It is okay to let loose. It is okay to do these things. But then there is that voice in the back of the head that's like, you could have trained.
You could have trained. Yeah. But I guess the thing is, there are times that it's almost like a voice that keeps all the other voices together. So it's like, it's almost like the manager in your head. So it's like sometimes it might be unhealthy when that voice doesn't really need to be there, and you can just like let yourself be like, I could enjoy just one more beer. It's all right.
It impacts you, I guess. It's trying to find that balance, isn't it? At least I struggle with that. You know, trying to balance the other things I want to do with, just the sheer amount of jiu-jitsu I want to train. It is tricky.
The thing I was talking with Bea yesterday was, I was thinking, it's like, sort of like just resetting, because I stopped and I started thinking, okay, why am I doing jiu-jitsu? First of it is just because I just love it. There's no other reason. Like, if someone was to sit with me and actually use logic, there's no logic for the amount of time I dedicate towards. It's just, I just love it. And it's like, it's not just fun. It's challenging.
It's addictive.
It's addictive. It teaches me about not just jiu-jitsu, but it teaches me about learning.
It's funny because people are like, why do you want to go again? You've already been like X amount of times. You're like, oh, but like I could go another time. When does it end?
The way it's teaching me about learning is like I was telling a friend the other day, like, you know, like with school, once you're done with the last grade, you don't want to go back ever again, right?
No, that's the thing. And it's like that self-motivated learning. It's really hard, really hard.
And with jiu-jitsu, it's like you probably work 10 times harder, but you can't wait to go again.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's a little bit of that balance of, there is a lot of challenge, but then there's like enough fun that keeps you hooked until like just the next day.
It is fun. It is definitely fun. Like, it is like, there's a game to it. There's a competition to it. It can be not fun. Like, it can be really not fun. Especially like when you're getting your ass handed to you constantly, repeatedly. But there is learning to be done in there.
Even when you're learning a new technique, it's like, it feels like you go two steps backwards.
Yeah.
Until you move forward again.
What's interesting though is when you look at the higher belts, especially when you get to black belt, they know enough about jiu-jitsu and all the concepts that they can pick something up so much more quicker, because they have just that understanding, that knowledge. So they can understand a move and be like, okay, this is what I'm trying to achieve with this move. And then they can hit it much quicker. I do think that's like, jiu-jitsu just looks like magic sometimes, like, especially from the outside looking in. Like, how on earth have you managed to do that? But I suppose it's like anything, isn't it? Once you get into it, you realize it can all be learned.
Isn't it crazy that if you were to see yourself rolling today, when you're a white belt, you wouldn't actually believe it that you did some of the things that you did?
Actually, recently I've been realizing, I've been realizing I do things that are so bad, and I was like, I used, like, that's such the white belt approach. Basically, grabbing on and not letting go, like, especially on the sleeve, on the collar, and just holding on. I've started realizing just letting go now and being like, I don't need that. It's almost like a safety rope, holding on. And just being more aware, like, being confident in some positions, like, and not freaking out.
Have you been, like, for example, one thing that I noticed, it's like you've been practicing a lot of things that you're not comfortable with, it's like completely new.
Yeah, berimbolos, inversions. Yeah, man, because, like, I don't know, I think coach was like, that's not your game. And he's probably right. Mine's more of like a pressure game and Bill's is more of like a spinny game. But I was like, I still need to learn it. And then I started having a go and I was like, Bill, this is super fun. And it is. So I have to know it at the very least. Whether I hit it is another question.
That's true.
But it's fun. It's fun.
And also, like, I think it's like, I mean, if you hit it, it's just like, oh my God, I can't believe I did it, right? Which is, it's a bit of good and bad because it's probably not your game. Shouldn't be doing it, but at the
shouldn't
same time,
really,
like,
be going for it, to be honest. Yeah.
Like, but at the same time, if you hit it, you're gonna be like, I'm gonna do it again.
But you gotta challenge yourself. You gotta challenge yourself. But you,
okay, so here's the thing. I think there's a difference between something being fun and something being pleasant.
That's very true, actually, yeah.
You know, like,
yeah.
For example, the Berimbolo one. I remember the first time we were rolling and you inverted. We were both white belts. I thought your neck was broken. I don't know if you remember
this. No. I remember this. That was an inversion. You grabbed my feet and you pushed them over my head and you pushed them to the floor. And then it cricked my neck.
Okay, but
I didn't invert.
Okay, but that was really scary to me.
It was super scary for me, bro. It was my neck.
Exactly. And then, but then, like, for example, I don't think if it was to happen again, you'd have been as scared.
No, people stack me all the time now.
Yeah.
And I definitely feel more comfortable there. Right. But that's because of a number of reasons. Like, I've got more flexible.
And probably I wasn't as gentle when I did it.
No, you literally slammed my ankles above my ears.
But then, I guess it's like, but like, for example, Berimbolo, if you wanted to learn, that's like completely uncomfortable.
Mm.
And it's very challenging. But it's like, it's still a new thing. There's like something to discover.
Yeah.
Something interesting. It's like it is fun. It's but it's not like ah, la 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 la. You know what I mean? So
pleasant is like I imagine if you go for a massage or a spa and you're not really doing anything. Yeah. That's pleasant.
I mean, pleasant is also just doing the same move over and over, and you probably are sweeping people with your favorite sweep.
Yeah, but isn't that interesting?
But you're not getting better.
No, to be fun, there needs to be a bit of challenge in it, doesn't there? Like, it needs to test you. You need to have... Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to think of, like, do you know when you go and try something, like, with a group for the first time?
Like slackline?
Like slacklining. But, like, there's loads of things. Or, like, climbing. Mm-hmm. Or, like, you go to an arcade. Or, I'm just trying to think of anything, really. Axe throwing. That's just come into my head. And, like, you're getting into it. And you're, like, you've never tried it. And it's, like, you're pushing. You're trying to get better. And then you're, like, oh, man, this is so much fun. Like, there needs to be a certain element of difficulty to it in order to feel accomplishment when you overcome it.
Yeah, but I think there's like a point of diminishing returns where the difficulty has to be enough to challenge you to a point where it doesn't break you. It doesn't break like your, doesn't so shatter true. Your yeah. confidence completely. And like, I don't want to try this ever again.
Have you ever watched that film, The King of Kong?
Mm-mm.
I think you'd like this film. It's basically, have you ever seen the arcade game? Like, mm-hmm. Donkey Kong.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, like, it's a really hard arcade game.
Mm.
And this one guy, like, sets a record. And there's two characters. There's, like, the real quiet, meek guy that's, like, just a genuinely nice guy. And then there's this real, like, flash in your face, like, I'm the celeb kind of guy. And the real flashy guy basically like claims he beat the high score,
yeah,
but didn't like post any proof. There's this whole thing around like you have to like post a VHS, like they have to verify it and blah blah blah. And then the other guy beats it, but no one wants to accept it, or like no one wants to accredit it and stuff. But there's just this, there's footage where like he's playing for hours and hours, day in, day out. And then like midway through playing, like the kid comes in, like he's recording a VHS because he needs to send it, and the kid's like, dad, will you come and play? And he's like really close to like the high score and shit, and you just think to yourself, that must have stopped being fun at some point. That's obsession. That's not enjoyable anymore.
No,
because there's no payoff, there's no trade-off, I guess, other than like to say you did it. But that's got to have lost the fun element.
But don't you think, like, as humans, sometimes we tend to get, like, this is a little bit of, like, the old story about, like, I don't know, it's like a tale that is in all cultures. Sometimes, somewhere along the line, we tend to cross a line where we shouldn't have, or something like that. It's like, we always want more. Always want more. And there's, like, always, like, a little bit of, a warning sign about, you know, with jiu-jitsu, there is a point where it can hurt you. Like, it's very good for you, it's very good for your life, but it can hurt you in many ways. It could steal away your time way too much, it could injure you. Mm. It could just make you, with anything. Yeah. And I think that's a little bit of part of human nature, where sometimes also, like, there are things that I do that are good on their own, kind of thing, you could be like, ah, this is a good thing. but maybe I do too much because I'm running away from something else or something. You know what I mean?
Maybe, bro.
Yeah, like I'm giving an example, not me specifically. You know what I mean?
We can talk about it.
I'm thinking.
I suppose, why does anyone commit so much time to something even when it's gone past the point of enjoyment? Like, the initial spark that got you into it has long since vanished and you're still there pushing on and pushing on. Like, is it the person? Is it the thing that they're doing? Is it like a combination of the two?
Yeah, and I guess like it's where it's coming from. Because, man, like, sometimes, I mean, there are training sessions we've had that were not enjoyable at all. Right? But it's like,
in a weird way, you almost like trust the process. You almost see the value in it, I guess. You take the good with the bad.
Yeah. But it's not like, even like times where you just go like weeks, you go and everybody's beating the shit out of you. Or like, you feel like I was trying the thing.
Yeah.
That someone just showed me like the whole way, and it's not coming out. So it's like,
I guess at some point, even the thing you love is gonna get so good at it that in order to challenge you, the difficulty level is probably not gonna be that fun. Mm. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Like, at some point, it's gonna be so hard that you're gonna have to stay at that level, like looking around for elements of the fun and the joy, or you are gonna have to keep pushing on. It's gonna have to get severely hard.
This is where my remembering quotes gets bad. I remember, I think it was a comedian talking to other comedians saying, like, you know, like that feeling you get of like being beginners, like being anxious of being in front of people on stage for the first time. Enjoy it, because if you keep doing this, that will go away.
Yeah.
And you just go and tell jokes.
just a performer.
Exactly. And it's like, I miss that. Yeah. Like, I miss being so scared before going on stage. And I mean, and there are people who they still have that till the day of the last day that they perform. I think Henry Fonda, the actor, they say that he, before every performance, he would almost pass out. And he's just like a highly decorated actor. So that was a lot of challenge in that for him.
Because even like professional sports players, they come off and they have to retire, or like something happens and they're like, you know, I loved every minute of it. Did you?
True. I was hearing GSP saying that he hates fighting.
Yeah, he hates it so much.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, in part it became, it's like, once he's in the ring, it's probably fine. Because like he says, like, it's automatic at that point. He trained everything he had to train and he just listened to his coaches and just goes with the motions. But before that, it's just like, everything about it. It's just like, I mean, he loves the training, but getting ready for the fights, I just get so anxious.
Yeah.
So nervous.
And yet he's so good.
So it's odd. I guess it's also like what every person wants their life, values more in their life. Maybe at some point in his life, Michael Phelps valued changing swimming forever more than having fun, until changing swimming forever was more hurtful than
you've got to literally look and be like, if I want to do this, I'm going to have to sacrifice something.
The thing about those stories that I find a bit odd is we just hear the Michael Phelps story. We don't hear about all the other guys who trained harder than him and never got it. Yeah. You know, so it's like, I think it's great, and that's how greatness is done. And I know a few eggs have to be broken to make the cake, but it's...
Did I ever tell you about that Olympian, the shooter? He was not the clay pigeon shooter, mm-hmm. Where you have to be really accurate, mm-hmm. on the target. And I can't remember what order it was. I can't remember if it was Sydney, then Athens. Let's just say it was. So he's at the Sydney Olympics, and basically he's in the lead. And the commentators there, like, all he has to do is score higher than a four or something like that. Man, he shoots and he hits a two.
Oh no!
And he it's just so unheard of. Like, he's just never ever done that. And he's like, what the hell, man? He loses it and he doesn't even medal or something like that. Basically, he fucks it completely. And everyone's like, oh my God, that's like the worst. So then 4 years, he's got to like...
do it again.
Basically like train, live with that, get over it. Man, he gets to Athens, same situation. The commentator's like, all he has to do is hit the target. Bro, he hits the wrong target. Can you imagine?
Man, it's like the Olympics is so brutal. You have to wait 4 years.
4 more years. Can you imagine?
And there are guys who are probably getting better than you.
Do you know what I mean? So like, let's say he's like, even if he's 21, by the time he's gone through all of those, do you know, he's like climbing on to 30.
No, man, that's intense.
Bad, isn't it?
So many things can happen in 4 years.
Yeah, like you could hit the target.
And like, and this is the thing, for those 4 years, he has to like train like fucking Michael Phelps was training, yeah. Logging every target.
Every single day. So every single day, with like when he lines it up, he's going to think about that.
Think about like right now, if one of your friends called you like, hey, can you help me with this? And you're like, no, I got to go to bed. It's 9 p.m. That 9 p.m. makes a difference in those 4 years.
Man, and the thing is, they like your friends will stop calling you. He's doing that thing. Like even if they accept him, they're like, yeah, that's cool. They're not going to call you.
Yeah.
So it's like, crack on.
Yeah. It's really tough. And then... You don't win anything.
And then you come out of this bubble and you're like, oh, where are my friends? And they've all had their lives and their kids and hung out together on holidays and done all these fun things, and you have nothing to share or talk about. What a sacrifice, man.
Yeah, it's like
doesn't sound fun.
It doesn't sound like fun, and I'm sure it's like you have to go all the way. Like you can't
I guess then, they get to stand there and say, I tried.
Yeah.
I didn't stand on the sideline, and there will never be like a what if. Like, they tried.
Yeah, and I guess like the only thing is maybe there is no... because that's just the Olympics, but I think we all go through that in life. Like, people try to get married, doesn't work. People try to start a business, it doesn't work. But it's like... and it's very much like that, you know? Like, it's like... can you come have a drink with us? No, like I'm solving something in my marriage. I'm serving something in my business.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'm like, I'm training jiu-jitsu, you know, it's like, but I guess it's like, it's a hard choice because there is no right or wrong, right?
I don't know. Let's say you can have too much fun, fly off the rails, do the wrong kind of fun.
That's true.
Let's say like, here's what I've always thought, like, and GSP talks about it, he's just in my head, where it's like, where someone is dedicating all their time, and you just really need someone to take them to one side and be like, bro, this ain't for you.
Yeah.
That's a hard conversation to have. John Cav talks about it, about Gunnar Nelson as well. Apparently he walked into his office one day and just said, I'm quitting. And Coach Cav was like, it was the best thing ever, because... in the next 2-3 fights, like, he probably would have started to slip, and then you're just walking into punches. Whereas he was like, I've achieved everything I want, I'm happy, like, I'm quitting, let's find something for me to do. But like, there are guys that they do just need to be told, nah, bro, you're putting in the effort, like, you can't deny that, but it's wasted, like, it's just not gonna happen.
I mean, I think the thing is, the hard part about that is you kind of got to be, I think to get to that level, you kind of delude yourself a little bit, even for the guys that do make it. So it's like, I think it takes a special person to listen.
Because they'll be there saying like, nah, man, like,
I
can't listen. I can't, like, I've got to keep working. I've got to keep going. Like, I can't, you're wrong. Like, I can do this. Like... and well, then, man, they're going to learn pretty quick, aren't they?
Yeah. And it's like, man, sports is hard. It's like anything can happen, man.
Yeah.
Anything can happen.
Was it you talking about Alex Ferguson that's like when the 16-year-old or something like that? And it's like, I can't tell you you're going to be famous and like it's all going to work out. But I can tell you if you don't do it now, it will never happen.
Yeah. And like deep down, he knows that this kid has potential.
Yeah.
But I can't tell him, don't go to school. The example he gave was Louis Saha.
Yeah.
Which I think he came to Man United to become the main striker. He would always get injured. There is one game after like being injured for 3 months or 6 months, he was ready. Like, yeah, this is the moment from here on. Like, he's been doing well in training right before the game starts. It was just like that the whole time. But as a professional, he was great. He said this is one of the greatest professionals I've ever worked with. One of the guys that put in the most effort, so always on time. He was great. Even when he played well, he always did well. But
it wasn't meant to be.
It wasn't meant to be.
Man, that's brutal.
Yeah, he was going to be one of the biggest names in Europe. And yeah, it's like...
it's like Chris Weidman.
Yeah, man. I mean, to be fair, Chris Weidman, he's already in the books. Like, he's already been world champion. He's already had his prime.
But surely after a break like that, you're like...
Yeah, it's done. That's what I think, at least. It's like,
you'd hope so.
Yeah.
But how many fighters think they've got one more fight in them?
Yeah, he was talking about he's going to fight this fight, and then he's going to fight another one, and then go for the belt. Yeah, and it's like... after something like that, you don't even know if he's going to walk the same way again.
No.
You know?
Happened to Anderson Silva, though, didn't it? He came back.
Yeah. But he was younger. He was not, like, in his 40s.
True.
So, it's...
I wonder how many people have looked at Rose and thought...
I can do it, too.
You can't do this.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't know. She's got to be the one that stunned the most people.
Yeah, that's insane.
Do you know the best thing to come out of that fight night? The announcer reactions.
Yeah. The compilation, right?
It's amazing.
I feel like that's how everyone was reacting to, but mate, it's like they were like...
So good. Joe Rogan just there. That was a good one.
Yeah, so here says the question. I think the fun thing, I think, at least from this conversation, the thing that's, and also from other things is I don't know, bro, like, I've been focusing so much on trying to learn skills lately, like, especially professionally, there are things that I feel like I can improve. So, like, I've been, first thing I did was actually make a structure of how am I gonna approach this in the most productive way possible. And I remember listening to this, to this guy who's a neuroscientist explaining how to keep yourself engaging, like, especially when it gets, the harder it gets, the more. And I like, one of the things, this is not professional at all, it's just like the slack line. When I was practicing, I broke it down into a few things to do. So first is just stand on the line. Then second is just like stand on the line with each feet, and then stand on the line with one foot and try to change to other, and then just walk 3 steps.
Yeah.
So as soon as I could walk, I try to stand in the middle, which is almost impossible. And I remember the first time I walked the whole line, my first instinct was to stay there the whole day walking the line.
Yeah.
And I remember this guy said, actually, for adults, practicing skills is very different than for kids. Because for kids, their brain is so open to new information and to sort of like their brain is almost like, it's so malleable. Anything that they practice, they're going to learn faster. But for adults, you have like a small window of plasticity to change your brain.
Yeah.
And to engage in a new skill. So actually, it's much better for you to learn. And when you start doing well, probably stop for that day. Don't do it for 2-3 hours.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like, because then that's when you reach the point of diminishing return. As an adult, try to do consistently over a long period of time. So I remember I walked, and my second, I was like, I'm going to walk it again. And then I walked again. I remembered that. I was like, it's fine. Go home now. Come here, do it again tomorrow. I was excited enough. I was confident enough. I was challenged enough as well. I was like, yeah, if I do this again tomorrow, because I'm not competing for anything, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, if I do this again tomorrow, I can push it further, but it's enough for today. Like, I'll go to bed thinking, I know how to slackline. The next day, worst day of slacklining, as bad as my first, but... it was interesting, sort of, this is, it was fun, but it was very challenging too.
Mm.
And I think it wasn't pleasant. And I guess that's the thing that stood out. It's like, fun is one thing, pleasant. I could have the most pleasant role ever, but cool, bro. Thank you guys for listening. Please let us know what you think about this. Fun, when is the point where it's too much, and is it necessary? Is it important?
Hit us up, let us know.
Stay safe in these streets.
Oops.